Hello, and welcome to Faithfully Memphis. My name is the Reverend Miranda Cully, and I am head chaplain at St. Mary's Episcopal School. And I am here to talk to Tracy Burgess from the Dorothy Day House. Every Thursday at 8 a.m., we have the opportunity to speak with interesting people and to learn about the role that faith plays in their lives. Hi, Tracy. I'm so excited to get to talk to you today.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well today. And yourself?
Doing well.
I have known you for a long time, and I've always known you as working at the Dorothy Day House in Memphis, Tennessee.
Absolutely.
But some of our listeners may not be as familiar as I happen to be with the wonderful place in which you work and do God's ministry in our city. So can you open with telling us a little bit about yourself, who you are, and what you do, and maybe a little bit about the Dorothy Day House,
sure.
if you can fit all
sure,
that in.
Sure.
Tall order.
So I am the new executive director of the Dorothy Day
Congratulations.
House. Congratulations! Sounds very good to say. But I've been involved with them for 10 years. I've been working with them for 8, and now get to take on the role of executive director. Sister Maureen retired in October, and it's some pretty large shoes to fill. So, at the house, we provide temporary housing and support for families who are experiencing homelessness. We're one of the few places here in the city that will allow the entire family to stay together. So it can be a married couple or a single parent, single mother, single father, and their children can stay usually about 4 to 6 months as they're working on their own goals and accomplishing the things that they need to take care of to move from a point of instability to a more stable foundation.
Yeah. So. I was just about to ask you, what is it that's unique about Dorothy Day House?
Mm-hmm.
And you named it. You all let families stay together. Mm-hmm. It's almost impossible to find that anywhere else, I've learned.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when I worked downtown at St. Mary's Cathedral, and families would show up on the door, and Dorothy Day House was always the place I would immediately go.
Yep. We opened in 2006, and so we really were the only family shelter that allowed the entire family unit together between 2006 and 2020 when Room in the Inn opened. And so there's a little more support there. A few more beds are available. Sister Maureen started a ministry a long time ago. And
yes, she did, and you
it's
have
our
been
responsibility
by her side.
To take it forward.
When I first met you all, you had one location.
Mm-hmm.
You all have added a little bit more on, right? What can you tell
Absolutely.
Us about that?
So we had the first location near Poplar and Garland mm-hmm. from 2006 to 2018. It housed 3 families at a time. And for most of that time, there were 2 staff members, Sister Maureen and I. And I only started in 2014. So it was her and a ton of volunteers and her co-founders for a long time in the beginning. But it wasn't until 2016 when we launched a capital campaign to open more houses. Our board of directors have a goal to serve a large number of families simultaneously. We're still not there yet, but we've opened 2 additional houses near Peabody and Bellevue, and we can now house 8 families at a time.
So 8 altogether.
8 altogether
wow.
among the 3 homes.
Okay. And aside from just housing, which is a big one, I don't want to say just housing,
right.
what other things do you all do for families?
It really depends on the family's goals.
Mm-hmm.
So some families move in and they need medical care. They haven't seen a doctor in years. And so our house manager will work with those parents to make sure the parents and the children get seen. Sometimes families need job training or education. And so once the kids are stabilized in daycare and in public school, then the parents are working towards their own goals of education, job training, and eventual employment. All while doing that, those sorts of longer-term goals, we're serving the immediate need of food and clothing and shelter. We're making sure that parents have diapers and hygiene items. They have a safe place to stay, and little by little, we will learn to trust each other and form community together as we work to eventually move forward into their own place. And when they're ready to move into their own place, thanks to tons of in-kind donors, we're able to furnish their apartment or their home with everything from bedding and linens to cleaning supplies, towels, the whole shebang.
It is so holistic.
It is.
And a trajectory of short-term and long-term goals for a family. I love it. Well, I've seen it with my own eyes, so I know what a special house it is and how comforting and truly homey.
It really is a home. It. We do have a video tour that if anyone would like to check out, it's on our website, dorothydaymemphis.org, that there is a tour of Loretta's house, which is our second home. And you'll see the kids that give the tour are adorable. I have to give a shout out to my own daughter who's on that. But it's a home. There is not an institutional feel whatsoever.
Not at all. Well, let's talk a little bit about the name of the house, because I'm a pretty big fan of Dorothy Day.
Dorothy Day.
What can you tell us about Dorothy Day and why she's a great model for what you do?
She is my spiritual giant.
Oh, truly a saint. I don't know if she's canonized yet.
She's not canonized yet.
I think she will be.
In the process. I think the thing that I most admire about Dorothy Day is that there's been a sense of faith her entire life, even from her younger childhood days. There's been this presence of faith or who role modeled faith to her, and she felt that that was important. And then even in her early adulthood, early 20s, she actively tried to push all of that away.
Wow.
She said, this is not for me. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to be on this side of social activism, but I don't want religion to be any part of that. And then it wasn't until her early 30s that it all came back and just exploded.
Yeah.
So that's what I love about her most.
Yeah.
Is this sense of faith and at sometimes a very pious faith, but faith in both her own personal action and that towards others.
That communal action, social justice. And that's such an important piece of the series that we are on right now for Faithfully Memphis, is how do those personal values tie into the church or to our faith or into what it is that we are called to do in a broader way.
Right.
And we see you all living that out in your work. I thought your website, which was new to me, maybe because I hadn't looked at it in a while, but you just gave the address. But I enjoyed looking at some of the values of your organization. And I think that those are exactly what the church should go for.
Yep.
So I read things like hospitality, things like that. Like, can you share a little more about how those, maybe personally for you, blend in, and also in the organization just encapsulates those things?
I think the two values that the organization holds that I hold dear are hospitality. That's a big one for me. And personalism.
Ooh.
So I am one that I am always welcome to have others in my home, whether that's families that we serve through the Dorothy Day House, whether that's my children's friends that just show up because we live across the street from the school. I will always have extra food. I will always have things to celebrate with. I will always be one that wants to welcome others in my home, in the Dorothy Day House, and at my church. And I just hold that value near and dear.
I love that.
I think that's what builds community. It's our spirit to be welcoming.
Yeah.
But in that same regard, personalism is one of our values at the Dorothy Day House, and that is to treat each family as their own in an individualized fashion. Nobody has the same story. They may have similarities over the years that you can see, but everybody is different, and they have their own values, and they have their own strengths, and they have their own challenges, and we have to respect that.
Yes.
So.
Yes. We Episcopalians love to talk about our baptismal vows and just upholding the dignity of every human being in that. And I love that there's a little bit of a dichotomy between the personalism and also the hospitality, but how they respect the person one and the
same.
So what you're doing at work, you're also doing at home. So we're welcome over at Tracy's house
anytime. You are.
So since we have brought up some of your own personal values mm-hmm. that blend in, and also we talked a little bit about Dorothy Day's youth and how she was clearly set on this track, I wonder if you would share a bit of your story of how you were raised, maybe mm-hmm. your faith story or your own personal values and how they led you to do what you're doing
sure.
now.
Sure. I grew up in a town of 100 people.
Oh.
100 people.
I didn't know that.
It's called Loyal, Oklahoma. And there were probably less than 100 people. But needless to say, I'll tell you how we took that count on another day. But there were four different denominations of churches. So I was raised in the Catholic Church. And from what I remember, there were two families in this Catholic Church, and one eventually stopped coming. So it was just us, and they closed the church. So I bounced around. I went with friends to the Baptist Church, and I went with friends to the Methodist Church. And I never really had any sense of religious upbringing. But there was a piece of me that always felt it was important. I actually laughed the other day because I told some friends that if I would have known that my maternal grandmother was Episcopalian, my paternal grandmother was Catholic, I may have had a different path in life. However, I ended up returning to the Catholic Church when I was in graduate school. I decided that I was going to move away from Oklahoma, move away from everything that I know, come here to Memphis. And one of the things that I wanted to do was explore the Catholic Church. I did that by going to the Catholic Student Center at the University of Memphis. I met my husband. He lived there. We met about 2 weeks after I moved to Memphis. And his faith was one that made me feel that the Catholic Church was important. I could see it in him and see it in him as a leader, and I knew that I had always wanted something of that level of importance in my own life, and so I explored Catholicism and eventually returned to the church. But, you know, there's things that I disagree with or things that I struggle with in Catholicism. And so you have to find people who support you. And I do that at St. Patrick's. St. Patrick's is a very welcoming Catholic parish. They're ones that walk and talk their faith. And I think that's where I really enjoy the spirit of Dorothy Day. Mm-hmm. And Sister Thea Bowman, and all sorts of other wonderful female Catholic leaders. It's because they gave me a path. People like Dorothy Day and people like Sister Thea Bowman gave me a path to say women can challenge the church. They can encourage the church. They can change the church. They can transform the way things have always been. And so I'm going to go down that path as well. I don't know what that looks like yet, but I'm going to go down that path.
I feel the Holy Spirit rising up in that answer in this conversation.
Yeah.
Bouncing off of what you're saying about women in the church, I mean, since you grew up, I guess, in the Catholic Church in Oklahoma, have you noticed more female-inspired ministries or since being in Memphis? Or, I mean, I am in the Episcopal Church. I am seeing a lot of female leadership and just a lot of initiative beginning that way. I wonder if you're seeing it.
There might be. I see a lot of great female lay leaders mm-hmm. within the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And we are finding our ways to preach without being on the altar.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
And so we're doing that at places like the Dorothy Day House. We're doing that within our book clubs. We're doing that within women's groups and things of that sort. We'll just see where it goes.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I think it will be used for Preach always, if necessary, use words, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
And you do preach through your ministry each and every day at Dorothy Day House. I'm curious how you find what it's like to go to church and worship when what you've spent doing all week is ministry. I ask myself this too, because as a priest, I'm often, tell me, do you find any difference between the two, or do you feel like it just glosses over beautifully together?
What is the saying? You have to fill your own cup. You have to, you have to fill your own cup. You have to put on your mask first. If it weren't for my ability to worship in a place that I love with people that I love, I would not be able to do the ministry on the day to day. So it is that faith that drives the work, because it's not always easy. There's tough moments that will cause you to cry and cause you to scream and wonder about humanity in general. But it's your own faith that keeps you grounded.
Yeah.
So.
And so that time with the church gathered in community together is where some of your cup gets filled up.
Absolutely.
Is what I'm hearing you say.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's also time with staff. You know, we have a really great staff at the Dorothy Day House. And we take time to celebrate. We take time to talk through the tough moments. We take time to just leave and rest and come back to it. So I think that if you're in a community that understands the good and the bad and the ugly, then you all make it work.
How many of you are on staff together?
As of next week, there's going to be 10.
Oh my
And I'm
gosh.
So excited. We went from a staff of 2 to then at one point we had 4 of us. And we're about to have 10.
Oh, congratulations.
So there's myself. We have 2 development staff. We have Louisa as our volunteer coordinator. Eileen works with in-kind donations. We have a business manager. And we have 3 house managers as of next week. So excited.
Oh, that is so exciting.
If you've worked in small nonprofits, you understand what it's like to be fully staffed.
Yeah.
And what it means to not be fully staffed.
Yeah. And so in addition to giving grace when people need to leave or people need to have a timeout or some of that personal sanity time, are there any ways that you as a staff together, like ground yourself in faith? If it's at a staff meeting or if it's in some other format, like how do you all keep that a focus and a central thing, especially as you're growing?
We are very open with prayer and with prayer requests, prayer intentions. And so there's an opportunity at every staff meeting, not only to pray for our larger community and especially for the who are in need of the Dorothy Day House, but also to pray for each other and pray for our own families. I'll tell you the story of my husband and I very briefly. And if you use it, you use it. If you don't. But I would go to the Dorothy Day House as a volunteer many, many years ago. And it was a time when my husband and I didn't like each other very much. We had been married 7 years.
There are those times.
There are those times. And my prayer was always that I was thankful for the opportunities to keep families together. So you pray this prayer every Sunday. You're praying with all of the other families in the house. And at one point, you just realize that you're praying for yourself just as much as you're praying for everybody else. We've now been married 18 years. So it worked. But our staff know that they are welcome to share any of their prayer intentions. They are welcome to share things going on in their personal lives, and they are welcome not to share them if they don't want to. So I think that being a faith-based organization gives us the opportunity to come together as a group and do what we need in those times.
Yeah. So. It sounds like you are a spiritual leader to your staff as well.
Well, I think they're spiritual leaders to me.
In community, you find it all together.
Yes.
We are going to go to a break, and we will be right back. Hi, welcome back to Faithfully Memphis. I am the Reverend Miranda Cully, and I am sitting here speaking today with Executive Director of the Dorothy Day House, Tracy Burgess. So, Tracy, we have been talking about lots of wonderful things, gotten into your personal life, your personal faith.
Yes.
I'm curious, because Dorothy Day was Catholic, and I think of Dorothy Day House as a Catholic ministry, tell me, is it ecumenical, meaning can other denominations, other faiths be involved? And if so, how can we get involved? Or how can your ministry be open to us?
Of course. The founders of the organization happened to be all Catholic. And yes, Dorothy Day was Catholic. However, the founders knew the importance of having an ecumenical ministry, having an organization where all people felt welcome to serve. And I think that was their spirit. And that was just how they served personally. And so they brought that into the organization. Last year, we had 62 different churches serve in some capacity. And I even think of Memphis. I talked earlier about having four churches in the tiny town I grew up in, but having 62 different churches here in Memphis serve at the Dorothy Day House, that seems like a ton of faith-based organizations, even for a city our size.
Yeah. What do you think makes Memphis so ripe for all of these faith-based nonprofits that we have and people's excitement to get involved in them?
Well, I think Memphis is still a faith-based city.
Yes.
I think it always will be. But a lot of organizations that I'm aware of provide relief. And I listened to Sutton Mora on a podcast earlier today talk about the difference between providing relief and providing social change. Mm. And we don't have enough organizations changing policy, but we do have plenty that provide food and provide clothing and provide housing and all of those relief symptoms. And those are all needed. But we also need somebody to look forward to change policy for why we have so many Memphians who are living in poverty and who are in need of such relief.
And is that part of you all's mission at Dorothy Day House is to be involved with some of that future looking out?
I would love to.
Yeah.
That's part of my vision in the future.
Yeah.
Is to look at how affordable housing is created here in the city. Look at the different policies that affect people that we serve that can change them, or let me rephrase that. It could benefit them in the long term.
Yeah.
Whereas we have always been more of a relief organization, even though we allow families to stay usually about 4 to 6 months, that's still a very short term time frame when you're looking at the long picture of life.
Right. Right. So since anyone is welcome to be involved and you've had so many organizations, how can we get involved? If I wanted to bring a group of my students from St. Mary's School, where would I begin? Who would I contact?
I would probably suggest you start on our website. We have a really great section on volunteerism. However, Louisa Gale is our volunteer coordinator, and you can contact her through the website. For groups, we look at our needs and your skills. It could be that you deep clean the house for us. It could be that you sort donations for us, clean up the food pantries, whatever we need at the time. But we've had groups renovate the house for us. We've had them paint all of our houses before. We've had them build furniture. We had a great couple last week who said, make us a list. We're in Memphis for a week. Make us a list of what you need done, and we will come in and do it. So they installed a dehumidifier. They built a bunk bed. They went shopping for us, whatever the case may be. But volunteerism really is about using your skills to address the needs of the houses or the families. You know, I got started as a baker in Sunday night prayer. I was bringing desserts to our families and testing recipes. And then in 2018, my husband and I opened Lucy J's Bakery that intentionally hires parents from the house to work. But it's using your skills and our needs. And it could be that people get involved with their families. Everything's family friendly. Could be their church groups, school groups, or it could just be them as an individual. We have one woman right now who is tutoring a middle school student twice a week. And that's what she does. And that's, she's a retired school teacher. That's what she loves to do. And so she's doing it. We have another person who's teaching one of our mothers how to drive. That's not my skill.
But I want to teach a lot of people how to drive, but.
So you can always check out our website, dorothydaymemphis.org. That's the best place to start. And then if you have a large group, contact Louisa and she'll help create something that works for you.
And so. I know that the system works because I've had many a youth group and we have looked and found something that worked for what our skills were. In fact, one time I remember bringing a group of teenage boys who I thought knew how to mow a lawn. They did not. We were able to do it though. Mm-hmm. We did some yard work for you all, but you all make it easy to volunteer. Yep. Because you give such an assortment of things that some of us can surely find something
Absolutely.
That we can do.
Absolutely.
And did I hear you correctly say that you began as a volunteer at Dorothy Day House?
Yeah. It's crazy how God works.
Yeah, sure is. Okay, so Tracy, if I heard you correctly, you said that you began at Dorothy Day House as a volunteer, mm-hmm. and you also now own a bakery that people can begin to work at.
Absolutely.
That's quite a connection, quite a leap, quite a God thing. Can you tell me more about how that happened? Thing.
So it was our Sunday night prayers. And even before that, before Sunday night prayer was a thing, Josh and I, my husband and I, had contacted Sister Maureen because this was still at that time where we didn't like each other very much, right? Mm-hmm. And she sat us down on the couch. And she always, I learned that she asked this of everyone, but she would say, tell me about your life. And of course, we didn't tell her that we didn't like each other at the time, but we did tell her that we baked and we decorated cakes. And if she ever needed anything sweet for a fundraiser or whatever, that we'd be happy to provide it because that's what we did. And so she wanted to start Sunday night prayer and have a dessert component to it because, of course, people will come if there's food, right? And so we would put on a pot of coffee. We would bring dessert. People would come and pray in community. They would meet the families. Volunteers would meet the families at the house. Families would see other people who had a care and concern for their well-being. And so that's really how we started. We started by bringing desserts. And Josh and I ultimately knew that we wanted to have a restaurant. We'll say restaurant. I wanted a bakery. He wanted a restaurant. And as God seems to work, Dorothy Day House was working with Sean Massey on another project, and we found out that he was the leasing agent at Crosstown Concourse. And so in wonderful Sister Maureen fashion, she just boldly asks him, well, would you like to have a Dorothy Day bakery? And he said, yes. I didn't have a financial plan. I didn't have a business plan. And this is a woman who never yelled up the stairs, but she yelled up the stairs. And she said, Tracy, come pitch your business to Sean. Okay.
Fortunately, you'd been thinking about it.
I had enough of an idea to be able to give him a 2-second pitch. But that was the start of Lucy J's Bakery. And that was just the beginning of it all. Would you like a Dorothy Day Bakery?
Oh, that's
so cool. But the bakery's whole purpose.
Where is the bakery?
It's in Crosstown Concourse.
Wonderful.
And we make delicious croissants and pastries and cookies, and we do special event cakes and breads and pies, the whole gamut. But the purpose of the bakery was to intentionally hire parents from the Dorothy Day House because we had volunteered enough and had worked enough with the house to know that sometimes parents just needed quick employment. All of our employees start at $15 an hour. Which at the time we opened the shop, Amazon wasn't even paying $15 an hour. It took a pandemic to make that happen. But we knew that that was what we wanted to do. And then we also offered the Memphis plan through Church Health, which was insurance. I don't want to say insurance, maybe a health plan for working employees.
Right.
And so that's what we did. And we've been going now for 5 years.
Wow.
And that's all God. That's all God and how that works.
How beautiful. Like, your relationship, your marriage with Josh, you know, you all were in a hard spot, but you were still going to prayer. You still had your dreams and you offered it up in, you know, service and in volunteering. And then it just took off in a way that you probably never expected it to.
Absolutely never.
That's so cool.
But I think that with volunteerism, it comes down to Sister Maureen's question. Tell me about your life. Mm. What are you good at?
Yeah.
What are the things you enjoy?
Yeah.
We've asked that of dozens and dozens and dozens of people over the years. And one woman had just graduated with her art degree. So she illustrated a children's book about homelessness. Mm. She sketched a coloring book for children about homelessness here in the city. And so it's about using your skills as expert or as basic as they are, bringing that to the table. Mm. Because service should be something that you enjoy. It right. should be something that fulfills you on some level.
Yeah.
It's a crazy journey. But a piece of the Lucy J's, a piece of the Lucy J's is creating community. Crosstown Concourse is its own special place. And there's a sense that I get to see the joy that people bring to our employees and that our employees bring to people just walking by. Mm-hmm. I think it's hysterical that one of our employees at the bakery will not sell kids cinnamon rolls if they're late to school. She's told them no.
Like if they're late for Crosstown High School, is that what
Correct.
You mean?
Correct. She won't
get
sell
to
them.
Class. You don't get a cinnamon roll.
She says she'll see them after school. And they respect her.
That's
they say, yes,
community.
Ma'am.
That's community right there, isn't it?
So
we are going to take a break for just a moment, but we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. This is the Reverend Miranda Cully, and I'm here on Faithfully Memphis with Tracy Burgess, the executive director of the Dorothy Day House. So, Tracy, as we've been talking, I thought I knew more about you than I did, but now I'm seeing that not only do you run Dorothy Day House, which has three places to live, but you also have a bakery, you're married, you're a mom to three, you go to church. How on earth, you're a modern woman, truly, how on earth do you do it all? Give us your secrets. All the women want to know.
I think my main secret is a support system. I have a really great support system.
I love that answer.
Mm-hmm. I have, not only do Josh and I both have family here in town who can help us at a moment's notice, but we also have friends that we've made through the Dorothy Day House. Sister Maureen is not only my former director, but she is a personal friend. And she lives with Sister Margaret Ann Zinselmeyer. Mm-hmm. She is a personal friend. If my kids needed to go somewhere quickly, then they could go there. We also have our church. And I knew that St. Pat's was our home when my youngest, who was old enough to know better, climbed under four pews when he was angry. And a woman in the front row said, "Gabriel, it's so good to see you. Would you like to sit down?" I was like, "I'm never leaving this church again." And so it's just that support system, whether that's people praying for you or people physically helping you when you can't do something yourself. But also, I've learned that I make time for things that are important to me. And I try not to stress about things that are not important. I really have tried to learn to let a lot of things go. If I can't change it, if I can't... I have another story about let it go, but I really do try to just not worry about the things that I can't change, unless it's extremely important to me.
Do you get a day to yourself?
Never.
Do you get an hour to yourself?
Sometimes. I really enjoy waking up, and this is going to sound crazy, but I enjoy waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning. That's my normal time to wake up. And so between the hours of 4 and 6, it's pretty quiet in my house. And I can get a lot of things done, even if it's just sitting there and doing nothing. I can get a lot of things done in those 2 hours.
Early mornings are mom's Sabbaths. This mm-hmm. is what I have learned from my busy working and mm-hmm. mom and female friends.
But I am blessed to have older kids right now. Mm-hmm. So I have kids between the ages of 11 and 17. My 17-year-old has cooked dinner almost every night since March of 2020. That's mm-hmm. just something he took on that he enjoys. Aww. So I don't cook dinner, and I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. I'll go buy the groceries, I'll meal plan, I'll do the whole shebang, but I don't physically cook dinner. Yeah. I've also learned my other secret is learning how not to have to make every decision and encouraging and empowering, whether it's people in my own house or people at work, to feel comfortable enough making decisions. I don't want to have to do that.
That releases a lot off your shoulders it when does. You could easily take all that on. Mm-hmm. It's part of that letting go.
And, you know, I talk about my own support system. Our families at the Dorothy Day House don't always have that support system. And so I think that I can't take mine for granted because I know that I am that for somebody else. Mm. My support system allows me to be a support system for families at the house.
Yeah, nice. Thinking about, like, most of what you named as being your support were communities of faith, which is what we're talking about. The families at the house, like, what part of their journey does a faith community play? Like, are you all the faith community? Or do you find that as they get established in the world, they have groups that they connect into that help them thrive? Or do they have it at all?
It depends on the family.
Okay.
And it depends on the family's desire to be a part of a faith community. Mm-hmm. Some we meet already have churches and they're trying to figure out how they can take the bus from one of our houses to one of their churches or a church that they belong to. Others simply want to know if we have a Bible. They say they don't really know what's going on, but they trust the word. Mm-hmm. And they want to take some time to reflect. And we've asked other families if we could pray for them, and they flat out said no. Hmm. And we won't pray with them at that moment. I'm going to pray for them in my own private time, but yeah. I'm going to respect their decision.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
I truly think it all comes down to God. God and the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Do a lot every day at the house.
So as we talk about what is the future of the church, I think we have to be really honest. Mm-hmm. People are not coming to the church gathered in buildings mm-hmm. the way that they used to. But the hunger for God, I believe, is still there. And we know that we have work to do in our community and in the world. Mm-hmm. And for me, what you all do at Dorothy Day House is just such an excellent example of here is how we are going to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ to the people we see every day. How do you find that, you know, working in the atmosphere that you do and with the people that you do, how does it change your view of the church? Because you're both involved in the community that is out in the world doing the work, but you're also very involved in your own community at St. Patrick's. As the future of the church is changing and people aren't coming as much, how do you see them going out into the world and the work that you do being maybe what young people are more drawn to?
Right. If I could impress one skill, I don't know if it's a skill or I don't want to use the word mandate, but it's creating environments where we can love our neighbor and we can welcome the stranger. Mm. And people ask how we at the Dorothy Day House can do our work day in and day out. And I always refer to it as loving like Jesus did. I mean, it is truly treating the person in front of you as Christ in your presence. And so what I would hope is that the Dorothy Day House can provide an opportunity for people to be able to do that. And I think that they do in all ways that they're comfortable.
Yeah.
And it just takes time for them to be able to do it a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more as they stretch themselves out of their comfort zone.
Absolutely. I think sometimes the idea that seeing Jesus in the stranger's face, that can be an intimidating idea. We like to stay in our comfort zones, but that is part of what I like about the work you all do as well, is I can bake something and bring it but I can also get very involved with a family Absolutely. If I want to. Mm-hmm. And I believe that the church is going to have to get out there and do more. And I've been saying that. And so I relish being a chaplain, being out with the young people every day.
I think with young people in particular, mm-hmm. it's creating experiences or providing experiences that young people can see the face of Christ. They may not use those words like you or I would.
That's right.
But deep down, they understand that this is what they should do.
Yes. And, you know, they're wrestling with that question, which I keep hearing you say a lot is like, who are you? Right. And who are you made to be and what are you made to do? And when you find those gifts, you start to find places to share them. And then you get plugged in those ways. And the mission slowly becomes a little clearer.
Absolutely.
Well, I have absolutely loved getting to reconnect
Thank
with you.
So, much.
So proud of the work that you're doing. And we love being a partner with you. And I hope that any others who listen in know that they can also join in on the work at Dorothy Day House or be inspired to take their gifts and go elsewhere.
We'll see.
Remember that you can find the Episcopal Diocese of West Tennessee on Facebook and Instagram and at edwtn.org. You can also listen to past episodes of Faithfully Memphis on Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcast. Be sure and like and subscribe to us too. This is the Reverend Miranda Cully, chaplain at St. Mary's Episcopal School, here for Faithfully Memphis. Until next time, stay safe, stay positive, and keep the peace.